And this is the operator. I'd like to inform all parties today's call is being recorded. And if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
This is J. Scott Evans. I would ask that Gisela do a roll call for us or give us a list of attendees.
Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have J. Scott Evans, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Avery Doria, Ilya Bazyankov, Jonas Soininen. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Ken Bauer, Glenda Saint-Géry, Gisela Gruber-White, myself, and apologies, we have Liz Gaster and Caroline Greer. Thank you.
All right, everyone. As you know from my email, this is J. Scott again, that I sent out earlier this week, we have completed the work on the majority of the charter drafting guidelines document, but there are three sections within that document that are going to require heavy cross-references to the document we have before us today, which is the working group guidelines or the operating model guidebook. And so we are going to concentrate on getting the wording for this document in order so that we can then call for consensus on the three sections that heavily rely on this particular document. So with that, it's my understanding that to date, the only person that's provided comments in writing with regard to the documents are, of course, the ever energetic Avery Doria. So we will now, Marika, since I'm going to allow you to control the document, to scroll down so that we can begin working on this document. If you would go to the first section, I think, which is probably intended audience or purpose, 1.2 or 1.3, that actually has text that we can discuss.
And this is Marika, if we can take one step back and go to the title of the document, there was one suggestion already there, because I know you've been working under the title of Genus of Working Groups Operating Model Guidebook, but as a newcomer to the group, I was extremely confused as to what that meant, and following going through the document, my suggestion would be to make it more straightforward and call it Working Group Guidelines.
Does anyone in the group have a comment?
J. Scott, this is Ken Bauer. One of the things we also talked about on the staff was, and we've talked about this in prior sessions of the whole group, and that is whether or not we really do have two different books here, two different guidelines, or just one with two big sections in it, right? One that deals with the implementation of working groups and their behavior and so forth, and a charter template, right, for those who would be building a charter document. And, you know, if we're going to look at changing the titles at this point, maybe the right thing to do is to think about merging the document into one complete thing, which probably could be called Working Group Guidelines, to differentiate it from the sort of operating model versus the charter drafting guidelines that we originally bifurcated.
Thoughts from the group?
Well, I agree with Ken. If we're going to make it the working group guidelines, then it also makes sense that that title would cover both sections as subsections. But
so we would have two sections to working group guidelines, as I understand it. The first being charter drafting guideline, particular audience, which is the charter organizations. And then we would have working group operating guidelines.
So this is Jonne. I think that makes perfect sense. It sounds somewhat logical, at least to me.
Yep.
This is Ken Bauer. One other thing that would help, would also make it possible, if it's one large document, there won't be any cross-referencing issues that we would likely have if the two documents are kept separate. So that's another thing that might create a sort of a holistic document, and we wouldn't have to be repetitious between two different source books.
And this is Marika, and this is something that I think was discussed as well on last week's call, and I think at that point those on the call agreed to work through this document first, and then once we have the two documents, you know, nearly finalized, then to bring them all together and make sure that indeed we avoid the cross-referencing and, you know, have one document that we can either link through internally or point to chapters where the relevant information can be found without having to repeat things two or three times.
Yeah, in my years of drafting, we're not going to get past the cross-referencing. Mm. But having it all in one document surely makes it easier for someone to navigate through whatever cross-referencing there may be if it's all in one spot, rather than having to leave something and go to another thing and look it up. It's much easier to navigate if it's all within the four corners of one particular document.
So this is Ken Bauer. I'm sorry, this is Ken Bauer again. So I would recommend not changing the title at this point if we're planning to put things together, because we can create a title for the entire thing at that time, and also maybe even chapter headings.
Group?
Fine by me.
This is Subaya. It's okay. It seems okay to me.
Okay. Well,
I also think it is okay.
Okay. All right. Seems that we have at least reached consensus with the fact that the title should be under consideration once we get the two documents merged, that our goal is to merge the two documents into one overarching document, and each section of that document would have two different audiences, but they would all be there for in the same repository. Okay. Now, Marika.
1.2.
Okay, yeah, so chapter 1 is just general. 1.1 is the background, and that will need updating following the completion of this process. 1.2 explains the purpose of the documents. 1.3, the intended audience. And 1.4 looks at revisions. So here is a first question for this group, would be how to deal with revisions. We've been discussing it a bit internally as well, so it's the idea what would happen if, because of some changes or, some events, something needs to change in the document, who should be responsible for overseeing that process and approving a new version. And one idea that we've discussed internally is whether there should be some kind of standing committee that should be responsible for all the working team products that are currently being produced, so that a committee can come together or be informed, this is what's happening, and take a decision and then just, go back to their usual business. So there's some kind of process in place and some kind of body responsible for looking at those things.
This is Subaya. I just want some clarification. Is this for this... what you're proposing, is that just for revision at the end of this particular period where we're coming up with all these documents as a whole over the next several months, or is it for, you're talking about a standing committee as in long term for the next 5 years or something like that, or both?
Then the second would be more once this group has finalized it and has been approved by the PCSC and the GNSO, after that all has happened. It's for more long term.
It's for the long term. You're talking about for the long, many years. There's going to be some changes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
For the next 10 years, Samar.
Yeah, well.
This is Ken. Just something you might not be aware of, but one of the BGC recommendations was that there be some standing committees formed after the improvements were completed. Not only for the purposes that Marika just outlined, but also for metrics tracking, are the improvements working, that sort of thing.
Well, let me just throw this out to the group. I don't think this team has the ability to do anything other than to recommend ESB that a standing committee be formed.
Yes.
I mean, we can write everything here and put in as another recommendation is to say that, you know, and put language in here that follows that recommendation. But I don't think we have the ability to do more than recommend to the PPSC that a standing committee be formed.
Yeah. Moreover, I would have thought that there should just be a single standing committee, correct? I mean, I would think it's efficient for all these things, you know, both tracking and all the other review documents besides just our own committee, a working group, that for all of it, there should be a single standing committee going forward. I would have not thought that we would want a standing committee for each different, you know, working group issue or whatever.
We want to make that. I do believe we think that there should be a recommendation. I'm hearing consensus that we need to recommend to the PPSC that there be some sort of standing committee to deal with future revisions to these documents. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This is Aubrey. I don't really have an opinion on it one way or another, as surprising as that may be. But why wouldn't this just be something that, on an ad hoc basis, you know, the GNSO or anyone could say, hey, you know, these things have gotten outdated. And I only ask because it's true what Ken said originally. There was the notion of standing long-term committees to review these things, and by and large the position I think that the council took at the time is, hey, you know, when it comes time to review it, we'll review it. Why do we need a committee sitting there? A committee sitting there is something that looks for work. So, as I say, I'm fairly ambivalent on it. I could see it both ways. I'm just not sure I understand.
Well, I'll throw this out to the group. I sort of take the position the GNSO council is that committee.
Yeah. Perhaps what we could compromise here is to say that a recommendation that we place is that that the GNSO Council be prepared to set up a standing committee occasionally for review of these things over the long term or something like that. I don't know.
The difference between a standing committee and an ad hoc committee, I think one of the things we may want to say is why don't we make a recommendation that these be reviewed when are these matrix, are they annual matrix, Ken, that they're asking to do? I mean, it seems to me that each, as I understand the way we've designed this process, is that each working group at its completion is going to do an evaluation of its performance or its experience, correct?
I think so, yes.
So it seems to me that the GNSO Council, we recommend that the GNSO Council, I guess, would take an annual look at these to see if they need to be revised. And if so, then they would set up a committee to deal with any revision.
This is Ken. I think that could work.
That sound, Aubrey, like what you're... I mean,
Yeah, it seems fine.
We recommend that you have a hard to do, that you have to look at the evaluations and see and make a determination these do or don't need to be revised at this time.
Yep.
And that needs to be done annually. And that you need to set up an ad hoc committee to do so if it's determined that they need to be. That would be the recommendation I would suggest.
Seems reasonable.
I mean, it builds in flexibility, but it also makes a hard recommendation that you need to look at this issue. How do the others feel?
Anna, happy with that?
I'm okay with it, Subhaya.
Sure, Yona.
Ilya, I'm okay with this.
Okay. All right, Marika, can you capture that for our next iteration? Just put a recommendation there?
Yep, I'll do so.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
So then the next chapter is roles and responsibilities. 2.1.1 is announcement of a working group, and this is something that was also covered, if I recall correctly, in the charter guidelines. And this will be one section where we need to see where that we need to sit and where we need to be cross-referenced.
So I don't have any specific comments on this one, as we already discussed that particular section. 2.1.2 is membership applications. So here the question was raised, should there be any scrutiny over membership applications by the chartering organization or other body, especially in cases where volunteers are not members of a GNSO constituency or stakeholder group?
Well, I want to put something out to the group. Membership application sounds like something that's a little bit more formal, that requires a lot more of some sort of approval, that I'm not so sure that's this process. Wouldn't it be more like a membership, an expression of interest?
Well, maybe the word volunteer is in there or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just asked.
I agree with you, Jay Scott. I think that membership application sounds a little bit too formal for something like this. Like Subhaya said, like a statement of volunteering, or like what you said, statement of interest, that would be much better.
Others? So why don't we just change that to statements of interest, because that's what we're going to be talking about, right?
This is Marika. Could we maybe change that term as we're using statements of interest as well at a later point in time, where people just submit, you know, what they're doing, and if they're, because this is more just sending in an email, I would like to join the working group. So could it maybe be expressions of interest instead of statements?
Interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, expression of interest in volunteering.
Okay.
So then the question is still, should there be any kind of scrutiny over those expressions of interest? And I think Avery made one suggestion here.
Mm.
Yeah. Avery, if you want to.
Yeah. Oh, is this the first comment? We got to it. Okay. Yeah, one method, as I said, that's been used is, and this is really just a level of sanity check, is, one, do we have a real person here? And that involves the reaching out and making the phone call and somebody actually talking and having a one-to-one with a real person. And in some groups, that's not a problem. In the ICANN mode, that has sometimes been a problem, is that we don't really have a real person. The other thing is, and you know, decide is, has this person been a whole lot of problem before? Has this person been kicked off every single list? So these are things that we've been doing now as we've evolved. I'm not necessarily sure that I'm advocating both of them. I kind of like the real person check. Yeah. And I also tend to believe personally that everyone always gets an umpteenth chance. But, you know, I just wanted to pass on what was currently being used.
And, Avery, just my thought on this one. When you mentioned that if there's somebody who's been kicked off other lists and so on, right? Now, if you do determine that somebody has been such a person, what is the mechanism to propose? I mean, what do we do then? Does the chairman at that point call that person up and said, hey, if you want to be a member, you know, you have to behave, we'll watch you, or is there a follow-up to that?
It's actually been pretty much, I don't know whether it's happened or not. I think sometimes just putting that's a condition out there may stop people, but I do believe that, you know, I've been mostly insulated from that by Glenn, so she may have the experience to tell. It's been one of the considerations, but I don't know if we've ever actually deployed it.
Cheryl here. I'm much more comfortable with the real person check than I am with bringing in other levels of criteria. I'd be a little bit fearful that having stubbed one's toes on some form of etiquette of some form of lists may sort of carry over as I think too much of a limitation on input and speech, but the real person check I'm very comfortable with.
This is Glenn.
Certainly go along with that.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yes. Just to say that when Avery has asked for this, it has happened twice, that in fact there was an email sent and there was not actually a person, it was a sort of company, and they wanted to be able to put in anybody at any time into the working group. So there was no one person that was going to be in the group. And then the other time was also a very dubious person that I think probably we'd all know about.
And we're all not going to say, Glenn. I think that that matter of an organisation offering alternates, that's perfectly viable as long as everyone in the group then, you know, that's part of what's made clear in the group membership, that sharing that, you know, organisation XYZ will have someone representing it, and you know, it could be one of half a dozen people. The effectiveness of that person, if they're not brought up to speed, and if there's not good sharing from that organisation's point of view of continuity and everything else, of course, works against them and their input if it's not done effectively.
This is Marika. Could a suggestion be to put in a sentence like, the chair of the chartering organisation, together with the secretariat, will, at its discretion, have the opportunity to verify or follow up with candidates that have sent an expression of interest, just leaving the option open that they can check, just to make sure that, you know, it's a real person and there are, you know, not 100 people that will alternate and without informing the group, something like that.
I don't think it should be discretionary. I'm the neutral chair. I think that you should have to check and verify that they're a real person. With regards to the misbehavior, I think that should be focused on each particular working group. There's going to be a precision in here to deal with that. So you would just don't look at anything else. Just look at this. Are they real? They're in. If they begin to misbehave here, you'll have a procedure for dealing with that.
Absolutely agree.
Okay, this is Robert. Can I comment on one other piece?
Sure.
As I said, I'm totally fine with everyone getting an umpteenth chance. On the one that is the list of, basically it's a portal to some company or to some group, and in fact you'll find often that you have such a portal in dealing with GAC. What I'd recommend then is that there needs to be a person who is the point of contact, who is, if anything is going wrong, if something is being disruptive, if something, that there always be a person, even if that person is the representative of, you know, and in fact, when various groups, hasn't happened in GNSO context, but I think it's happened in a CCNSO context and in joint working groups, where there's basically been either one person in the GAC that was forwarding the messages, or it was broadcast to a GAC list and then messages were relayed back in, any number of mechanisms because of the way GAC operates. So that makes sense, but there was still always one person, you know, one of the vice chairs of GAC who was nominally in charge of the connection point.
Well, I think we could put language in that says that you need to check that you're a real and viable person or representative. And if you are representing a larger group, that you name one responsible party for your participation.
Primary contact for. Yeah.
Primary contact rather than responsible party. So that you're not putting an onus that they have anything other than to relay information. That sound workable to the group?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right. Marika, you kind of have the concept?
Yep, I do.
All right.
So moving on then to the statement of interest template. Again, this is a section that also appeared in the charter guidelines, and this is a section that will need updating following the completion of the work by the OSC GNSO operations work team.
There's one there.
Now, do we say who gets the template out to them?
No, that, I think it's, this is related to the last section, because here, in relation to the fact if a statement of interest has not been received, what should be done? And we put in here a procedure for consideration by the working group, and the suggestion here is if after three reminders from the GENESO Secretariat, a member still does not respond and still not provides their statement of interest, they will be removed from the working group mailing and membership list.
Can we go up just a little bit back up? But I want to know, do we tell in this document who's responsible for making sure whatever this template is gets to the individual who's filed an expression of interest?
Yes, it's the GENESO Secretariat. It's the second line. I can highlight that. Here.
Okay.
So the Secretariat, with the confirmation of receipt of the expression of interest, they will also send a request for a statement of interest,
okay,
providing the model below.
Okay. Well, maybe what we need to do is we need to make sure that that paragraph is structured so that we change some of the wording that we've talked about. Secondly, that we put it in order that it will happen. So that you express your interest, you're verified that you're, you know, it's a real person or a point of contact, and then this is sent out. So we structure the paragraph so it flows.
The right order.
The work will flow.
Yep.
Okay, I'll make that change.
Okay. I mean, it just seems that then it's all in order. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm moving back to the proposed procedure. I'll just highlight this as well. It's easier to see.
Because with regards to this template, are you sort of keeping tabs on when they're going to come to a conclusion on what that's going to be, or is that something that I should be contacting the chair of a working group to find out where they are, or how?
I'm liaising as well with a staff person, and she knows that something, you know, that we're looking at and have included and waiting for the final confirmation, where we're talking on a regular basis as well with different staff responsible for the different work teams,
okay,
to make sure that we identify overlaps.
Okay.
So we try to coordinate it internally, but of course, there's, you know, nothing preventing you from as well talking to the chair to make sure that we, you know, get
okay,
the right wording. Okay.
I would ask that perhaps if this person could attend our live meeting in Seoul.
Mm.
Okay.
So that they sort of see headed, so if we're not communicating, they can see everything there live and can have their input with us if it's possible.
Yeah, I'll need to check that because I think some of the OSC teams are meeting in parallel with the
okay,
PPSC teams, but I'll look into that.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. All right, now, what did you highlight?
This is the procedure that we propose for a member that does not submit a statement of interest after three reminders. There's no formal procedure now. I think we do tend in working groups, if someone doesn't submit it, at one point we do send an email, if, you know, this is your last chance. If you don't submit it now, you will be removed from the membership list. And Glenn might recall, I think that might have happened once or twice. Is that correct, Glenn?
Yes.
Should we have a sentence here that just says, but this can be rectified even after three if you submit it? You can. It doesn't keep you from ever being a member?
Yeah, so what the last sentence says, once the member in question has submitted the missing statement of interest, his or her membership will be reinstated.
Okay.
And it mentioned before as well, if the chair of the working group decides that there are extenuating circumstances that allow for additional time for the member in question, so, you know, someone might be ill or, you know, away, I think, you know, we're not going to say them. If they don't see the email, we're not going to, you know, kick them off the working group. So I think there's some discretion there for you know, certain circumstances.
Guys, what do you... When I say guys, I mean ladies and gentlemen.
I think we're perfectly happy being non-gender specific under guys. I always think pain points are excellent things and certainly endorse having one in this process.
Anyone else? Does anyone have a problem with having this type of mechanism in place? I think it helps administratively.
The question for Avery, because she did put a comment there, chair and secretariat should be able to handle it. What do you exactly mean with that?
I didn't think that anything special needed to be done. I think, you know, but I mean, they can just basically, bother the bot tester. But, I mean, you know, wanting to put in a mechanism that makes it easier is probably fine, too. I'm not objecting.
I mean, when you consider...
I tend to be minimalist about things, or hope to be minimalist.
But this is a guidebook for... I mean, we have to think this is for somebody that doesn't have our level of experience, right? And so you giving them a guidance of when they've done enough, I think is helpful.
Done.
All right.
Let's move on.
So moving on, 2.1.3 is planning the first meeting. This is more to provide some background on what things to think about in setting up the first meeting. So some recommendations as well, what things can be done at the first meeting, like introductions, election of the working group chair. I'm already moving too fast. Well, one note to make there as well, and I think that's something that the group probably will need to come back to once the PDP work team finalizes its work. The group might want to consider building in a special model or example what needs to be done for PDP working groups, because they've already raised that, for example, something they would like to see taking place at the first meeting is a request for constituency statements. So they mentioned that that's something they would like to relay to the working group work team when they come to that stage to have as well specific reminders on what a working group should be thinking of in a PDP working group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we will need to think of when the PDP work team comes to conclude.
Is the PDP work team putting together some sort of document of what would be required of PDP working groups?
Not yet. There are suggestions or recommendations to first develop some kind of, how to run a policy development process that would, you know, outline the different stages, and something like that might come back in there as well.
So,
but they're not at that stage yet. They're first trying to go through the actual process and you know, are not at the stage yet of talking about what documents they will need at the end of that.
All right. Because it seems to me that we could do one of two things. We could either incorporate whatever writing document they come up with here to say, if you are a working group that is subject to the PDEP process, you need to go here and do, you know, and then list it all in this document. Or we could just say, if you're a PDEP, you need to go look at that. I don't. Again, that's getting away from it all being in one document. So we need to decide: are we going to incorporate that kind of stuff here, or are we just going to send them somewhere else?
This is Ken Bauer. One option there might be to include like an appendix to this document that would contain additional procedures or recommendations related to PDP working group, elements.
An alternative would be, because of course all the other elements would apply to PDP work team as well, but then you work with some kind of color coding boxes that, you know, pull out the things that are specific to PDP work team. Because all the other elements, you know, having the first meeting, introductions, election of the working group chair, normally would work in the same way. So I think we will probably need to see what the PDP work team comes up with and what elements they would like to see added to see whether indeed that's better to include it in the document, have an annex, or whether it's a completely separate document that...
I like the annex idea. So why don't we just make a note?
Yes.
Possible annex.
Yeah, put it as a recommendation, and that will nudge that direction. Yeah.
Now, the problem is with an annex, of course, you would start copying or duplicating. I don't know if that makes sense. You just have two different documents, because, other stuff here would fall in there as well.
What I would suggest is we don't have two separate documents. We tell them to develop it, and we'll stick it on an annex here.
Yep.
This is Ken. I think what Marika might have been referring to is there duplicate material. Like, for example, if the PDP team says the first thing that should happen in a PDP working group is the introduction of meetings and election of chair, that would be duplicative material. But I think the staff organization should weed all that stuff out, right? That's part of our function, is to make sure that the teams don't overlap like that. And when the PDP team sees what we have done already, then they can say, oh, we don't have to cover that because they already have it.
Right.
Well, but my point is a PDP working group will have a lot of the elements that a working group guidelines will have as well. So the only few differences are that they are required to follow a specific procedure that might need calling out in certain steps of what we have here as well. So if you ask the PDP work team to develop a guideline for a PDP working group, they'll take most of what is here and just add some little bits and pieces.
That's,
you would have two documents that will look very
right.
similar. With
okay, that's difference. What I'm suggesting, though. What I'm suggesting is, why don't we give them this section and say, we've already covered these generalities. All you need to do is the points that would be specific to PDP work teams, working groups. And then have them just develop those specialized points. And then take their specialized points and put them in an annex.
This is Ken again. Maybe if I say this. I think what we're advocating here is that there isn't a separate PDP working group guidelines book. We should avoid that at all costs. There should only be one working group guidelines document that this team puts out, and if we need help from another group to finish writing sections of it because they pertain to an area in which we don't have expertise, then we would incorporate that material in here in some way, whether it goes in an appendix or, as Marika said, in color-coded boxes in different sections. We can discuss that later, but the key is not to have multiple documents doing the same thing that people have to consult.
Right.
Correct.
And so one of the things we may want to do is when they get to the point of drafting is let them know we've already got this part drafted and we'd like to share it with you.
That won't be too difficult to do because I'm the staff person responsible for that group as well. So
already drafted this part, so as long as this is in conformity with just broad generalities, you really only need to focus your drafting on specific issues that relate to PDP problems.
PDP, yep.
Correct.
And then we can talk about and get their consensus on how they'd like to see it incorporated into this document. With our recommendation being that it be an annex, but that's not a determination at this point. That sounds?
Yep, works for me.
Okay.
Okay, so then moving on to section 2.1.4.2, unless there are any other comments on the introduction part. The first thing would be introductions, getting to know each other. As well, I think there's something that was mentioned as well in the charter guidelines, that all working groups are supposed to be open, transparent, so maybe making this a publicly archived, meetings are recorded and transcribed, and statement of interest are required. So 2.1.4.2 is election of the working group chair. So here again, the question is, what is described here is what is the current practice used by the GNSO on once a chair has been elected, it's normally confirmed or approved by the GNSO. And there is an opportunity to have an objection by members of the council, but I think Ivory mentioned that it actually has never happened. So the question is, should we follow the same procedure here, that a chartering organization confirms the chair and as well include then the process, like if there are objections, then there should be a vote. If there's a majority, then it's fine. If there's no majority, then it should go back to the working group to request them to reconsider their choice and or return with a new proposal to the chartering organization. So that's the question here.
Well, one thing I want to note is in line 3, fulfill is misspelled.
Yeah, it needs 2 L's. You're right.
Sorry, that's... Not
the pedants. We need pedants. Pedants are important.
So, group, what do you think about Marika's question?
If I understand this, if I understand it, allow the same procedure that the GNSO follows now, that's rarely needed to go into to send? I'm certainly in favor of that as a procedure. It seems lightweight enough if there's no problem, but there is a way to deal with things if there is an issue.
Yep. That was Cheryl saying yep.
And here's Yonah saying yep as well.
Sabai or...
Yeah, it's fine.
fine too.
Come on, you got to get your voice heard here.
No.
You have to say yep.
I didn't have to yip after all your yeps. So.
All right.
Yep is different than a yep. Come on.
Move on.
So moving on to section 2.1.4.3, so item 4, review. So this is just a recommendation of which documents the group should review in its first meeting, such as the charter, the guidelines, and any other documents relevant for the discussion, such as if there is a PDP process, a guidebook, issues paper, or any other documents. And then as well the recommendation that the working groups develop a work plan that outlines the necessary steps and expected timing in order to achieve the milestones set out in the working group charter. Anything else should be added here for review at a first meeting?
Should. Okay, never mind. It looks fine to me.
If not, then moving on to section 2.2, team roles and responsibilities. This is, again, something that also came up in the charter guidelines and has basically been copied and pasted from there. And, again, we need to see once the two documents have been finalized whether it stays here or moves to the other side of the document. I don't know if you all recall, the agreement of the group was to have a number of standard roles that will be described here, and a working group is expected to use those standard roles, but then a working group would have an opportunity to develop other roles if they would see fit and provide the relevant descriptions with that. So just scrolling down, I think Avery made some suggestions here.
Avery, you want to explain your bracketed comment?
I was just adding, as requested and appropriate. There was a whole lot of roles there, and in the first instance, I believe it's up to the working group to decide which of those roles it needs. Obviously, there's a secretariat, but going beyond a secretariat, it seems to be something that the working group should request.
Yeah.
And then the as appropriate, not every role is appropriate in every situation. And so there was many, many possible roles there, which could get us 15 staff people for every working group if we felt the need to fill them all the time. So it was really those two thoughts, and that's why those two words.
Yeah, this is Jonna. I think those two words actually are fairly useful in this area, and to make the clarification that you don't really need to take all of them, and I think this is a pretty logical change.
Cheryl here. Yeah, I agree with that, but more importantly, I specifically agree with the fact that the responsibility comes back to the work group to make those requests.
This is Marika. The only question or concern I have is the requested part, how to deal with that. If the working group would request like all these functions, is it then for staff as well to say, well, no, sorry, we don't have the capacity at this moment? Or if a certain staff person has been allocated to a working group, can a working group then say, oh, well, you know, we don't like that person, so we prefer to have someone that has operational implementation capabilities and we request another person to serve on this group, or what does the group think of that, or how can that be avoided?
This is Aubrey. I think that's probably where as appropriate comes in. Certainly, you know, staff when, and it'll probably be the person of the chair making the request, and there will be a secretariat. and the appropriateness of the roles and that discussion, you know, would occur at that point, I would think. And that is perhaps another reason why as appropriate is reasonable. And the staff, you know, manager definitely participates in that appropriateness determination.
Okay, that makes sense.
So my question is, do we want to say that, put secretariat above that and say ICANN staff will serve as secretariat. ICANN
yeah.
staff can also perform the following distinct roles as requested and appropriate and list the others?
I would think so. I think that one you always need. You always need that at least that one point of contact
right.
to get your meeting scheduled, to get stuff
yep.
put on the wiki, to get mailing lists.
Right.
A million
yep.
things you cannot do without.
I think, I mean, remember, we're drafting this for people who've never done this.
Yeah, I think that's important, yeah.
So I think we should bump that up.
Bump. Yep.
And then list the others.
Yep.
Everybody okay with that?
Well, this is Marika, one comment I have, because normally, you know, I think the practice is now for all, you know, almost all working groups, if not all, is that there indeed is the secretariat function, but there's always a policy staff person as well that is supporting the working group, and sometimes that support can just be indeed being on calls and just making sure that, you know, we follow the discussions and are aware of what's going on, and sometimes that can go as well into those roles that are listed, you know, listed here. Or trying to get that input. So I don't know if, you know, it would be useful as well to list, like, the secretariat function in addition to, you know, staff manager or staff support person that is available, or I don't know how to exactly formulate that. But
yeah. This is already, I actually wouldn't think so. I would think that the base of the secretariat, which, after all, is a person in the policy crew, you know, would be the sufficient base. I think the understanding of what kind of policy person and policy manager and do you need an analyst or do you need a whatever is something that would come later. So I would tend to be against doubling up at the beginning, but really just including just the secretary, which, as it's organized, is a member of the policy team. So,
but it's not the current practice. Current practice is when a working group forms, it's often the secretariat performs a very important function in indeed getting the mailing list and all that set up, but it's often the staff support person that, you know, works with the drafting team and trying to get the first meeting and, you know, fulfilling an important task there as well. And it's, as it currently works, it's not, you know, the staff person is already allocated when the working group starts. It's not a question that when the working group meets, they can, you know, have a discussion of what kind of person will we like and what skills do they need. I mean, those different levels of expertise can be requested and be brought in, but normally that's as well part of the staff role to identify who might be that person that can provide that expertise and bring them in and brief them on what is needed by the working group.
So why don't? How about this concept that ICANN staff performs two distinct roles? One is the secretariat, and two is a policy liaison. That is a staff policy person assigned to the working group to liaison with the policy staff. And then ICANN staff can also perform the following distinct roles as requested and appropriate and list the others.
I think that makes sense because in that sense, you know, if indeed there is a case where it's only the secretary, they can still perform that policy liaison function as well.
Right. But what you're just saying is they do two things. One is they do all this administrative, then they liaison with policy staff. You know, and then, but they can also either do or arrange for these other things if it's requested and it's felt it's appropriate.
Okay, so you're saying it's a policy liaison function, but not necessarily an extra person if it's a very small group where the secretariat is.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Yeah.
I mean, so far in my experience, it's been two ICANN staff people, right? It's been the GNSO secretariat. Stella and Glenn doing all the administrative functionalities, and then the policy liaison person, the Kens and Marikas, that are dealing more with other issues. So it, in reality, it has been two people, but there's nothing to say it couldn't be one person if one person could handle everything. All right. At that point, we're at 56 after the hour, so rather than moving on, I think we should just finish this section here, and then we can call it, and we'll move in. Our next call will handle the next section.
Yeah, Scott, I just realized there was something I wanted to point out in 2.1, just a phrase that...
We go back, Marika.
Yeah. In terms of the documents that are supposed to be gathered or whatever, the first meeting to be made available to the working group members, is it possible we could also add something along the lines of any documents that may relate to past history at ICANN on the same topic? You have something called issue papers there.
Background information?
Why don't we just say, and any available historical data?
Correct, that would be good, yeah. Because oftentimes we're visiting the same subjects at, you know, because of different needs at that time of issues from before.
Yep. And we did, of course, what you're raising is we did, of course, spend quite some time discussing this and the various mechanisms, how it might work.
Marika, I think that was... That's down in the section that talks about what to review.
Is that what is highlighted now? What is expected to be provided to the members of the working group? Do you mean the section I've highlighted now, Sabaya? Is that the section you were referring to?
Yeah, either there or there was also it could be there or there's also another place where I saw it.
That's a good
place.
Okay, and again, this also comes back in the charter guidelines where we made as well that reference to including their historic materials as possible.
We'll just note that, Marika, and let's drop down because I just want to finish this section. Because there's some additional verbiage after this.
Yeah, so the last part here is related to a suggested procedure to conduct elections can be nominations or self-nominations, vote by simple majority, notification of and confirmation by the charter and organization of results of action. And Avery has put in a note here. Avery, do you want to comment?
Okay. Oh, the one about more reviews and approval?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that it needs to be. It basically, there's been, and this word has appeared in a lot of things throughout the GNSO lately, whether it's, review of GNSO operating principles by the board or this. And I think the notion I want to make sure is carried, and perhaps confirmation does that, is that from the second you pick this chair can function. And it's only if there's later problems. You don't want to be in a situation where you need to wait 3-4 weeks until there's a council meeting to basically bless the chair. And one would expect that the liaison working with the group, working with the funding of the chair, really already knows in many ways appropriateness and not. So what I really want to make sure is captured is that this is a review in terms of the confirmation, but it's not a holding state that basically, things continue. You don't wait. And maybe that's captured, but I wanted to make sure it was captured.
I'll put some language in there to try to capture that if everyone agrees.
I just want to ask a question here, Avery. Have we ever had a situation where the GNSO Council has come back after learning that someone has been voted a chair and said no?
Not yet. It will happen someday, but certainly not yet.
Okay. Well, then I guess it is a confirmation, but the only clarifying language needs to be that confirmation and no way, you don't need to wait for confirmation, affirmative confirmation to conduct the work.
This is Ken. Would the word subsequent confirmation get it done?
Right. Or, yeah, it probably would. And you could probably also, if you want to really be explicit, that the newly elected chair acts on a provisional basis until that confirmation.
Yes.
That's fine. Sorry, Cheryl saying that's fine.
That's explicit.
All right. That sounds like, Marika, if we could just do something to capture that concept there.
Okay.
Clarify that point. At this point, I'm going to call the call to a close because we are right at 1 minute over the hour. I would like to, if possible, are you still on the call, Gisela? I'm not hearing her. I'm going to ask that
I'm sorry, I'm here. Sorry, Scott, I was on mute.
Let's set up another doodle poll again.
Yes.
To see which days of the week, and if we can set it up so it's not specific, whether Wednesday still work or Thursday still work, and times again, so maybe some of these folks, let's just try to get a better sense of maybe if we need to do some adjusting. I'm not saying we will, but let's set it up.
Okay.
I definitely won't be here next Wednesday. I'm on.
Okay. So if we could do that. I am going to be sending out an email this week, probably Friday, giving everyone a week to object, if there are any objections, to the other document, all the language we've agreed on to date, excepting out those sections I mentioned before. So that we can just bring that consensus and we only need to go back and really focus on those other areas. Is that something everybody is comfortable with?
Yes.
Yep.
Good.
Good, because we're getting there.
We are indeed.
And I appreciate it, and I appreciate everyone's attendance today, and we can reporting now.
Jay Scott of Skeezler, quick clarification just to make sure that the doodle is for next Wednesday, Thursday with various times.
What I'd like to do is, is there any way to set it up that just says what's no dates, what day of the week is good, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and the time?
Okay, and no specific date.
Yeah, so in other words, what we're seeking to do is set a weekly call. We understand that there are some problems. Would you please look at these days and what's a good time for you?
Okay.
And we'll just look at it, and if we need to make adjustments, we will.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I thank you all very much.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye.